not signed up for public
okay, comment. Okay, quiet, please.
Do so this time.
The attending the council meeting, of the Fairburn City Council is now called to order. Okay, what's my first item of agenda? Okay, Madam Mayor. City Clerk, would you please call the roll?
The Honorable Anatavia M. Benson.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Fannie Mae Hauser.
Present.
The Honorable Shanita Nichols.
Present.
The Honorable Samuel Perry.
Present.
And the Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
Mayor, you have a quorum.
Thank you so much. Invocation by Pastor Boone. Here? No? Okay. So, Mr. Phillips, would you please? Please stand.
Let us bow. Father, we come before you on this day with our heads bowed and our hearts humbled, grateful for the blessing of another day. Lord, as we gather this evening to discuss the business of the city, we ask that you bless everything that occurs in this meeting to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Father, help us to deliberate, discuss, and make decisions in a way that is reflective of the love we have for you. Bless our first responders, those who put their lives on the line to serve our community. Bless our essential workers, Father, as they provide services that are sorely needed. And bless our leaders. Bless their heads with wisdom, patience, and knowledge as they deliberate on the things that are best for all of us who live in the city of Fairburn. Continue to be with us in everything that we do as we serve you so that we may serve others. It is in your Son's name we pray, as though the decree said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Madam Clerk, I have a presentation. Council, would you join me on the floor? Minister Jones, you may head up to the podium. What's that next to me? Fairburn City Council, to the staff and the residents that are in the audience, and to all who are watching online, I wanted to take this moment to present a proclamation to Minister Danita Jones and her younger sister, Sandra, who they've lost their mother. It's been 2 weeks now, about 2 weeks. Whom I had the honor and pleasure of knowing. For years, they commuted from Barnesville, Georgia, which is where they are from. But she eventually became a Fairburn resident and had such a spirit. And as Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood said, he represented us at the funeral because I had another conflict. She asked everyone to call her Big Mama because that's how she engaged with everyone and wanted everyone to engage with her. So on behalf of the city of Fairburn and the council members, Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses Smallwood, City Council members Anatavia Benson, Linda J. Davis, Fannie Mae Hauser, Shanita Nichols, and Samuel Perry, and myself, do hereby posthumously honor the legacy of Mother Essie Lee Harden High, whose unwavering dedication to her family, faith, and community has left an indelible mark on the hearts of all who knew and loved her. So I wanted to present this to you on behalf of the city. Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, I just wanted to, I'm going to pass it to you to pass on to Minister Jones, because this is family for Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood, and I heard that you did an excellent job on behalf of the city at her homegoing service, and so thank you so much for that. And Minister Jones and Sandra, please look at this and cherish it and know that I personally and many of us who knew your mother loved her oh so much. And we're going to miss her as well. Okay? All right. Thank you. Yes, you are.
No. First of all, I want to thank you, Mayor Hattie Potus Jones, and Mayor Pro Tem Ulysses, and all the council members, the old and the new. God is so good. I tell you, it took me a long time to get Mama here, but before she got here, she was doing prayer walks with us, and you was a part of that. Both of you all was a part of that because she was praying for this city. And I thank God for the vision that she had for people. And my heart is so touched because, you know, she loved you. She loved everybody in here. And she would just pray for you all. So a lot of people don't know that we have seen Fairburn change, not just because we have a prayer walk annually, but because my mama was praying too. So I thank you for honoring my mother. I thank you that you had an opportunity to be with her and walk with her and know her. I'm sorry you didn't get her collard greens. But I thank God for you, and I thank God for all of you all. And you all just continue to be on the battlefield and do the things that God have called you to do. And if you keep God first and not anything else, you will always make a difference. Yes. Thank you. Okay.
All right, members of council, our next agenda item is adoption of the city council agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Has been moved in second. Are there any discussion about the agenda?
No, yes, Mayor. I would like under.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were right. You were right. Okay. Hold that.
That's okay.
Okay. Now we will have the public comments.
We need a motion.
Yes. Motion to
approve.
Yes. The motion has been made and second to for the adoption of the city council agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And next item, public comments. How many speakers do we have?
We have 12.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Do we have a hot issue, huh? Yes. For a call, the first speaker.
The first speaker is going to be our state representative, Lydia Glaze.
So I want to say good evening.
Good evening.
To Mayor and Council, Mayor Portis Jones. I wanted to come tonight and for our new, four new members of council, just to say thank you so much for your willingness to take the time and to serve the city of Fairburn. Thank you for the willingness to ensure that this city continues to thrive. And from the State House, we want to tell you we're in session 15 days in. We've got the amended budget done, and there are a lot of bills that are coming forth. And so I just wanted to come and tell you again that I'm here for this city and the other cities in District 67, but certainly the city that I've lived in for 35 plus years. And it'd be my honor to listen and to have the back of this city and the citizens and residents of this city. And again, I want to say thank you, congratulations, and we appreciate your service.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Next speaker is Jody Gray.
Mm-hmm. I failed to announce that because we have more than 10 speakers, you will be limited to 2 minutes, and no speaker may speak more than 4 minutes. Issues raised at this time are generally referred to the city administrator for review, and responses will be provided later. Yes, Ms. Gray?
Thank you. Hi, good evening. My name is Jody Gray, and I currently serve as the executive director of the South Fulton Community Improvement District. And I want to say welcome as well to the four new members of the City Council. I can't wait to get to know you all. The CID is proud of the long-term partnership that it has had with the City of Fairburn, the Mayor, and City Council for more than 25 years. And I greatly appreciate the opportunity to address you this evening. It's actually the first time I've ever spoken at the public comment. I'm usually just on the agenda. On behalf of the Board of the Directors of the CID, I wanted to speak to you today to express our initial concerns regarding the proposed formation of a new special services district and its special tax for the citizens and businesses of Fairburn. Upon initial review, the proposed special services district appears to duplicate some of the same services already provided by the South Fulton CID while imposing an additional tax burden on the same set of property owners who have already opted into a voluntary tax for the purpose of community improvement. The CID model was intentionally designed to ensure accountability through property owner consent, efficiency, and close coordination with local governments, including the City of Fairburn. For many years, the South Fulton CID has served as the primary vehicle for delivering enhanced services and advancing strategic transportation and economic development initiatives that benefit both the city and the broader South Fulton region. And much like Aerotropolis, the city serves as a catalyst for economic competitiveness. The CID has spent literally millions upon millions of dollars within the city limits of Fairburn, and has partnered directly with the city in planning, seeking grants for, and implementing projects together. In fact, I'm putting together an application right now for the Georgia Transportation Infrastructure Bank, which is a state grant, for a $2 million grant and a $5 million loan. That's due this Friday for the extension of Oakley Industrial Boulevard to Gallant Road. And we...
2 minutes.
We recently got the interchange.
That's your 2 minutes.
It's already two minutes.
Yes.
Dang. All right. Well, I will follow up with a letter with more information.
All right. Thank you.
I have a lot more. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And also to Tony. I want to say he's been wonderful.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
The next speaker is Mr. Ernie Brooks.
Madam Mayor, City Council, fellow residents of Fairburn. I read somewhere about the World Cup that already 500 million applicants have approached FIFA for tickets. And I know not all those 500 million are coming to Atlanta, and there's just 8 games here. But I had this idea, and I know Atlanta is ground zero. But how could we capture the overflow once the hotels are overfilled and it keeps moving out? And what I had was what former Mayor Mario B. Avery suggested with Airbnb, your house. A lot of people don't want to do that, but a lot of people have campers and RVs and trailers. And if we could waiver the rules guiding that, I mean, that could be done with a motion and a second and a vote. And, you know, code enforcement could look at these RVs and make sure that they're not cobweb or roaded infested. And they could be on the property of the owners. And we could find out who owns these through the Department of Revenue. Motor vehicles. But anyway, I was thinking we could have a command center, too, out on Cedar Grove Road. There was actually the Tomorrow World had two functions out there in 2 years. It was great. Buckwheat Farms is the name of this on Cedar Grove Road at Browns Lake. And we could use MARTA right down Fulton Industrial to shoot people to across I-20 to the, is it Hamilton Home still, or have they changed name, and just shoot them, boop, right down I-20 into downtown Atlanta. So anyway, it used to be referred to as Fairburn's Back Porch, also on West Till Road. There used to be an overgrown Christmas tree farm, and we could engage our the people that made the presentation and get them to put a survey out, not only for foreigners who are coming that love the sport, but our local Americans in other states who help them say, well, the missing middle or working people or whatever you want, that people that are looking for a place.
Your 2 minutes are up. Mm-hmm.
The city of South Fulton, Palmetto, everybody in the select. Can help out. Thank you very much.
Next speaker, please. Ms. Claudette James.
Okay, you didn't want to speak.
Okay. Next speaker, please.
The next speaker is Ms. Deb Johnson.
Deb Johnson? Okay. I know. People just think you're not required to sign in when you come. That's only for those who want to speak. Okay. No problem. Next speaker, please.
Ms. Nadia Williams.
Okay. Next speaker, please.
Mr. Elijah Thompson. He's speaking.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Elijah Thompson. I'm a small business owner in the CID. I've been pretty much in this community. I've seen it grow since 2011 when I moved my business here. I have a small business. So pretty much my concerns were the formation of the new special services district with the Fairburn City Council. Just my concerns were being double taxed. Currently, we're taxed at 3 mills. Our concerns as far as being double taxed as a business owner to how that's going to affect me and my business and the people that I deal with as far as the tax burden that it would bring on just my business in general. Hopefully you guys take in consideration of being double taxed as a business owner in the CID to where we would gladly hope you guys take appreciation into taking a look to where you can itemize the taxation in the CID to where you maybe have it separate to where you have for businesses and homeowners. Just basically, I just want to be able to get my point over. So basically, I don't want to be double taxed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next speaker, please.
Next speaker is Mr. Lee Walton.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Just a few quick things. Thank you for your vision and your enthusiasm, the previous presentation in the work session about the LCI plan and your support for that, for the application is great. Hope that comes through and hope that we see the multi-jurisdictional improvements to Roosevelt Highway. Last year, and when I spoke a few times, I mentioned that the city of South Fulton was completing their comprehensive plan as we did. They actually have a meeting about that tomorrow evening, and then they'll be proceeding, I believe, quickly towards transmittal and the city of Fairburn's review opportunity. So I hope that the city will be on the lookout and ready to provide review comments, particularly as concerns properties adjacent to Fairburn. And then finally, I'm always here in support of the courthouse, and I understand that there is the possibility of some work being done on that relatively soon. So I encourage your support for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
The next speaker is Mr. Ronald Dillon.
Next speaker, please.
Jonathan Strack.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. I appreciate y'all giving me a little bit of time. I'm here to speak on the Special Service District. I grew up in Fairburn, was born on Elder Street. Our business has been here since 1979. And as a business that gave land for the Howe Avenue extension, just built a brand new building right off Highway 74, three-story building. Trust me, I believe in investing back in the community. But, you know, we already pay a tax to the South Fulton CID, and I was surprised to find out that we're going to create another district that was going to levy another tax. And you know, I work with a lot of businesses. I'm a contractor. I work with a lot of industrial and residential property clients. And, you know, I can tell you stuff's tight. Everything in the world's gone up 30%. And, you know, I don't know what kind of due diligence has gone into comparing millage rates. They're eventually going to get passed on to renters and tenants. I'd encourage you to look at that. And I just, in general, we've already got a body that does a good job, and you know, come partner with us on it, and totally about giving back. And I just, before you set a millage rate, think about what you already have, and before you levy basically a double tax. And that's all I had to say. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
The next speaker is Judy Gasha. You. The last speaker is Mr. Don Roberts.
Mr. Roberts? Okay. Thank you. That's the last speaker?
That's the last speaker, Mayor.
Okay. All right, that concludes our public comments. As I stated before, the issues that you've raised will be responded to by the city administrator. Next item is approval of the minutes. May I have a motion, approval of the minutes of the council meeting held on January 12th, 2026. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
Smallwood Perry?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, next item, the consent agenda.
Is it unanimous?
I was about to say aye.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. All in favor, say aye of the minutes.
Aye.
Eager to get through the agenda.
The second, okay. The consent agenda?
Yes, there you have before you the consent agenda. May I have a motion to approve this consent agenda?
Mayor? Is this the proper time?
Hold on. One moment. I need to bring the item to the floor. Is there a motion to bring the item
so moved.
The floor? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion?
Yes, discussion, Mayor. Okay. If I may, can we pull item number 2 and item number 3 off the consent agenda into the regular agenda?
There has been a motion to move items number 2 from the consent agenda, as well as item number 3 from the consent agenda, to the regular agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right. So items number 2 and 3 have been moved to the regular agenda, and they will become items number 7 and 8, and we'll just move all the items down that are on the regular agenda.
So items 4, 5, and 6 will be on the consent agenda.
Okay. Yes. So I need a motion to then accept the remaining items on the consent agenda. Is there a motion?
To move.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second to accept items 4, 5, and 6 on the consent agenda. Now we will have the regular agenda, and we will begin with...
We have to vote, Mayor.
We did?
Unanimous? Did all everyone vote unanimously on that?
Is
that
like or for the consent agenda? Yes. Yes?
There's two items. You voted to remove two items to the regular agenda.
Yes.
You need to vote for the remaining items.
I thought I said that now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There's a motion. May I have a motion to adopt the remaining items on the consent agenda?
Mayor, you have a motion and a second already. You just need to call for the vote.
Okay. We just need to
call for the vote.
Yeah. All in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to discuss item number 2 on the consent agenda. Now on the regular agenda?
Yes. So will you read item number 2, please?
Item number 2 is an ITB 25-21 Fairburn Youth Center basketball court installation. The recommendation is for Mayor and Council to award ITB 25-021 to Southeastern Surfaces and Equipment in the amount of $40,995 for the installation of the basketball court at the Fairburn Youth Center, Parks and Recreation.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Questions?
Yes. Yes.
Mayor, Councilwoman
Does
Davis.
She have to present?
Okay.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So what you have before you is an ITB 25021. This is for the Fairburn Youth Center basketball court installation. This is a rehab of our current basketball court. We will completely remove the court that we have and then put down a new court. As you know, our court is extremely old. It has some places that are already deteriorating. This was presented in the FY26 budget. We had to go out for formal bid through an ITB. The vendor that we selected was Southeastern Surfaces and Equipment. We had 13 bidders, and then it came back with they were our lowest, most responsible bid.
Other questions?
Yes.
Councilman Davis.
Thank you. Yes. My question is in reference to the cost sheet for this, for the basketball court installation. I noticed that under the item cost labor, that's zero. Is that correct? There will be no labor costs?
So they put all of their costs all into one formal price. That was that $40,000 number. So that includes removal of the court, labor, and installation of the new court.
And I see costs additional as $1,000. What does that represent?
That's any additional fees. So when we went through the ITB process, we did extend the court just a tad bit more, and we wanted to ensure that it was ADA accessible. So that was just any additional cost that may be identified by the vendor.
Okay, and that's all inclusive of the $40,995?
Yes.
Okay.
So that includes the court surface, the demolition, the installation of the new court, and any extra costs for the ADA accessibility.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have. Thank
You're welcome.
You. I have a question.
Yes.
Hi, thank you. Do you have a time frame? I'm just trying to look to see when they would start and when it would finish. Also, I think this is great for our community. Do we have plans? How will we utilize this court for our community? Is there events or things that you are planning to make sure that we're getting the best out of this?
Yes. So due to our basketball season right now is slated to end at the end of February. As you know, that is our largest space that we have to host any type of events and programming. So we're working around our senior programming. Our youth program will be outdoors during that time. So we're hoping for March. Once the contract is executed, we'll get with the vendor to see the timeline and the lead time to get the court in, because it is a custom court. Once that court is in, we'll work with them to see how long installation will take place. But our goal is to have it completed prior to our summer camp and start after basketball season. So that gives us about a 2 to 3 month window to go ahead and get it installed and ready to prepare.
And do we have a visual of what it would look like? I know they provided some mock-up.
Yes, I can send one to Ms. Chris, Mr. Chris and Mr. Phillips to send out.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'm sorry, it was a two-part question. My apologies. What we plan to do with the court. Yes, so our facility doesn't allow for ages over 12. So everything is below 12. So this will help for our youth basketball. This will also add something that our seniors have wanted for a while and just the general community, which would be pickleball lines, so indoor pickleball. Our current court, we had it tested to see if we could do pickleball on that current court. The surfacing, the type that it's made out of, we can't. So the new surface that we have is a multi-use surface and we'll be able to utilize for pickleball.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comment? All right. You have before you a recommendation to accept to approve the award for ITB 25-021 to Southeastern Surfaces and Equipment in the amount of $40,995 for the installation of a basketball court at Fairburn Youth Center. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any oppose? Okay. Unanimous vote. All right. Number three on the consent agenda, which is now number three. Eight on the regular agenda. Yes. Madam Clerk?
We should keep it as number three.
Okay.
The spring 2026 Kids with Goals Facility Usage Agreement. The recommendation is for Mayor and Council to approve the facility usage agreement between the City of Fairburn and Kids with Goals to provide youth soccer programming.
You have before you the spring 2026 Kids with Goals Facility Use Agreement. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
Question.
Councilwoman Davis?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. This is well needed.
Yes.
I just have one question. Okay. In reference to under the facts and issues, you said that the Kids with Goals agrees to pay the City of Fairburn for such space in the amount of $15 per participant. But over in the more discussion in reference to this, the usage fee, I see where there's a staffing fee of $25 per hour for games and a security fee to be determined by our police department.
Yes.
Are those additional fees in addition to the $15 per hour?
Yes. So the $15 is a general participation fee. So Kids with Goals, they've been with us for 3 years now. They practice every Tuesday and Thursday for 2 hours at our youth field. So we don't charge for a every time usage fee. It's just a $15 flat rate per participant that registers through the program.
Okay.
This year, which has been a little bit different from last year, we'll host games. Okay. When we do host games, we will not charge for the rental of the facility, but we will have to have a staff member there. The staff member, our staffing fee is $25 per hour per staff member. And it's because it is a youth sporting event and a sporting event period, our police department does require for an officer to be there.
Okay.
So that's for any external programming.
Okay.
And our internal.
Thank you.
Councilman Perry and then Nichols.
This will be the first year that we're actually going to have games.
Yes.
How many games, and how do you foresee this, again, with the World Soccer World Cup coming, how do you see this growing, for Duncan Park?
I see it going well. This is an ongoing partnership that we've had with Ms. Nancy Sanchez for 3 years prior. She was with another organization, and we worked with her with that organization, and then she branched off and started her own organization, and we partnered with that group. Right now, it's 2 to 3 games per month right now on Saturdays. So because we do have flag football games that will take place on Fridays. So this is for Saturday. So we think we're going to really partner with Nancy on some things. But we know that hopefully we can bring some more people out to identify that we do have soccer and kind of get the same participation that we have for our youth football games.
Thank you.
Okay. I just have
my Nichols. Yes,
thank you. Mm-hmm. So in the case of like rain and cold weather, they cannot play outside. So I'm just thinking about this new basketball court. Is that can't be repurposed for soccer? Just
Nancy, how many people do you have in your program? I think we're up to about 120. Okay. Yeah, so I don't think we'll be able. Nancy Sanchez, she is here today. But unfortunately, for our outdoor sports, we are unable, until we get a rec center.
Wow.
Put that okay. in. We are unable, yeah. we are unable to house any of our sports indoors. It's just the space and as well as our parking. We don't have a lot of parking. So internal space and external space is kind of an issue for us. So.
But it's a great question, Councilwoman Nichols. And I will tell you that with all outdoor activities, that is always a factor. In fact, the staff tries to alert anytime we know there's going to be inclement weather. Not only is it a challenge just keeping kids safe, but even on some of our natural grass turf fields, if you play on them when they're wet, it really tears up the grass. And so that becomes an issue. And so it's challenging. You make a very good point. But the best thing to do currently, given our field space, is just to postpone those activities and try to reschedule them.
Nancy, did you want to add anything about with soccer?
Thank you. Yes, as you guys know, my name is Nancy Sanchez, and I am the founder of Kids with Goals, a soccer program that was started here in Fairburn. I am a Fairburn resident, and I'm just very excited to continue this partnership with Chafin and the city of Fairburn. They have been extremely accommodating for us. Like Chafin said, our program has, we're right about 125 kids that are registered, and we have children that are playing from the age of 5 all the way up to the age of 17. Two things I would definitely like to highlight is our girls' high school team, which is primarily a minority soccer, girls' soccer team, which is predominantly Hispanic and Black. We have been undefeated for the last 4 seasons. Wow. We were recognized by Atlanta United. And also our boys' high school, which is also predominantly Latino and Black. Most of our players playing locally for Langston and Creekside, they are actually going, they have won the Georgia Soccer State Cup, and they are going nationally. And half of these kids, I would like to let you guys know, are all Fairburn residents. So, we are doing a lot of big things. I know the World Cup keeps coming up, but I just want to let you guys know that that has been something that Ms. Chafin and I have been working since 5-7 years ago. So we are working, and we're just very excited. So thank you.
You're awesome. Any other questions or comment? Well, I too just want to echo the sentiments that have been expressed, and I am very happy about the collaboration that we have, and we really have been talking about soccer for a long time in this community. But as was said, you know, we don't have a lot of spaces, and trying to coordinate the use of the fields between Little League football and soccer has been challenging. So thank you, Ms. Scott, for you and your team and working with Ms. Sanchez in order to make that happen. And I also want to say that the city is working together to create a series of events in honor of the World Cup. So stay tuned for that, more information to come, but we are definitely working on that. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, that being said, is there a motion to adopt the Spring 2026 Kids with Goals Facility Use Agreement?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposition? No? Okay, unanimous decision. Okay, next item.
Mm-hmm. The next item is on the regular agenda, number 7. The resolution pledging to practice and promote civility in the city of Fairburn. The recommendation is to request council and Mayor, approval of the resolution pledging to practice and promote civility in the city of Fairburn, Georgia, and for other lawful related purposes.
The mayor's office is bringing forth this resolution asking for the city of Fairburn to commit to and pledge to be a city of civility, to participate in the program that has been established by the Georgia Municipal Association. We've had some challenging times, and some things went on that surprised many of us, but definitely was not good for any of us. I heard from a lot of residents about they didn't like it. They didn't like the behavior. They didn't like what was going on. And they ask and expect, you ask and expect that we remain professional at all times. We will disagree, as we should. We all have been elected to bring forth our ideas. But at the end of the day, our residents expect us to come to amicable resolution. And we live in a democracy where the majority rules. And so this is a commitment to say that we will do so. I would ask Mr. Phillips to provide a little more background on what this is and what it is that I am asking of council to do.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mayor Pro Tem and members of council, tonight's agenda includes a resolution that is simple in form, very important in practice. A resolution pledging to practice and promote civility in the city of Fairburn. This item aligns with the Georgia Municipal Association's Embrace Civility Initiative and comes at a time when civility in public discourse has become increasingly less common at all levels of government and public life. While debate and disagreement are essential to democracy, the way those disagreements are expressed too often has shifted away from respect and professionalism. Notably, a recent national survey found similar responses to what we hear from our citizens in Fairburn. 93% of Americans believe incivility is a problem, and 68% identify it as a major problem. While public discourse may be growing louder, Fairburn citizens, by and large, still prefer civil, respectful, and professional engagement. This resolution does not discourage robust debate. In fact, it explicitly affirms free expression, diverse viewpoints, and open discussion. What it does call for is disagreement without disrespect, focusing on issues rather than individuals, and engaging in a way that strengthens rather than erodes public trust. As elected and appointed officials, our meetings are public. Our words are visible, and our conduct sets the tone not only for city staff, but for the community we are all committed to serve. This resolution reinforces expectations for how we treat one another, how we engage staff, and how we interact with residents, whether in person, online, or in written communication. At its core, this is a pledge of leadership. It reflects a shared commitment to civility, mutual respect, thoughtful listening, and constructive dialogue, even when perspectives differ. While this resolution carries no budget impact, it has meaningful value, affirming the standards of conduct that help cities like Fairburn function effectively and maintain public confidence. The recommended action before council tonight is approval of the resolution pledging to practice and promote civility in the city of Fairburn.
So you have before you a resolution pledging to practice and promote civility in the city of Fairburn, Georgia. I was going to ask each member of council to read a portion of the whereas, but Mr. Phillips has done an excellent job in explaining exactly what's entailed there, so I won't ask you to do that. But I will ask, if you so adopt this resolution, that each of you, along with myself, sign the resolution committing to that pledge. So you have before you the resolution. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Yes, Councilwoman Benson.
Just one recommendation, if this is possible, that if this is accepted, that we make sure that it is put front and center for our residents to see so that they can refer to it as well. If it goes on the website, if it's placed somewhere within City Hall, so that residents coming in know that we are pledging this. It's there, it's right before them. They can always see it and hold us accountable.
I totally agree with that. And in fact, this idea came to me when we did a site visit at another city. And what they said that they do is actually at every single meeting, they remind themselves of the pledge. And so that's something we can consider to do. I agree. Our communications director is here, and I think she heard you loud and clearly, and we will most definitely put this out for the public to see, because I, too, want all of you to know what it is that we are pledging to do. And if we fail to do so, I also ask you to hold us accountable to that. Quite frankly, as they say, keep us in check, right? Because things have, it's that important. It is that important that we do that. Any other comments or discussion? Yes. Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, Mayor, thank you for bringing this to the floor for this adoption. It speaks volumes of your leadership. We appreciate this so much. Thank you.
Others? Yeah. All right. Did I bring it to the floor? I did. It's been motioned and seconded to adopt this resolution pledging to practice and promote civility in the city of Fairburn, Georgia, and for other lawful related purposes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any oppose? Yes. Thank you so much.
Next item. Item number eight, contract award to Piedmont Paving for the Duncan Road Park project. This is a recommendation for Mayor and Council to approve the award contract for the Duncan Park Road project to Piedmont Paving for a bid price of $4,566,732.55. Public Works.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Duncan Park Road Project is a T-Splos 2 Tier 1 roadway project. It's a new location roadway project that extends from Park Road to Vanderbilt Smith Road and will daylight in between the Georgia Renaissance Festival and the new Ferndale subdivision. Currently, there is only one way in Duncan Park and one way out of Duncan Park, which creates all sorts of safety concerns. This project will address those concerns and allow new parcels to be developed for future use. It is also envisioned that this new roadway will be the location of a new community center, rec center that Chapin mentioned in her previous presentation. This project will also extend water and sewer services to the newly created City of Fairburn parcels to accommodate this desired project. The invitation to bid for the Duncan Park Road project was advertised on November 12, 2025. The bid opening date was December 19, 2025. At which time 18 bids were received and read aloud. After completion of the bid evaluation, it was determined that Piedmont Paving was the lowest responsive and responsible bidder with a bid price of $4,566,732.55. Funding sources, the first $2.8 million will come out of capital projects, Public Works Administration account, The other remaining expenditures, which is $1,776,732.55, will come out of T-SPLOS funds. Any questions?
Let me bring it to the floor. Let me bring it to the floor. It's contract award to Piedmont Paving for the Duncan Park Road project. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Yes, Councilman Perry.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the brief description on this. You mentioned infrastructure. So as they're laying this road in for the Duncan Road project, to hopefully soon include the rec center, they're going to lay the infrastructure in as well so that it can support the rec center?
Yeah, so as a part of this project, we're installing water and sewer in that project. We're going to stub out water and sewer services on both sides, newly developed City of Fairburn parcels that's going to be created by the roadway. It's going to be road frontage, so it's going to be stubbed out to accommodate. We're going to put it on one side or the other.
So basically, it's also going to prep for future enhancements to the Duncan Park enclave.
I'm sorry, the Duncan Park what?
Enclave, the Duncan Park itself.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I just want to say I am just so excited that this project is finally coming to fruition. This was one of those things that I talked about when I ran back in 2013. I didn't understand why, you know, we were limited in some of the things that we could do in Duncan Park. And the reason is because we only had one way in and one way out. And as Mr. Thompson said, for safety reasons, we could not do that, which just limited the activity. And over the years, I've heard from, citizens on the other side of Duncan Park, you know, from Verlin B. Smith all the way over to Milam Road, that, they have to come all the way around in order to get into Duncan Park. And a lot of people had, issues with that as well. But nonetheless, this is now an improvement, and this is something we've talked about for a long time, and we've planned for it, which is what we have to do in order to make things happen. So I just want to say thank you to the citizens of Fairburn for helping us to see this vision. And equally important, thank you to the previous leadership who brought forth the vision and helped to establish, the funding strategies that we've put in place. So with that being said, all in favor of the motion for the contract award to Piedmont Paving for the Duncan Park Road project, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? No? That motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, please.
Next item is number 9, American Towers License Agreement. This recommendation is for Mayor and Council to execute the license agreement between American Towers LLC and the City of Fairburn for the usage of tower facility located at 106 Howell Avenue, Fairburn, Georgia, by the Utilities Department.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening. The item before you, as you mentioned, was a lease agreement between City of Fairburn and American Towers. They own the tower that's located on the city property on Howell Avenue. As you all may or may not know, Fairburn has been gradually making a transition into or from a manual utility reading system into an automated system. This has been going on over the last 3 to 4 years. Up to this point, we've been focusing on just changing out the meter so that when we get the what's called the front end hardware and everything installed, it can automatically go ahead and start talking to those meters. What's being approved or asked for approval now is the lease project, which will allow us to mount equipment on their tower so that we can go ahead and start talking to these meters remotely and automated. This would be the first of three of these collectors, as they call them, to put them up, because they collect all the data. So that was the first one. There's two other that are going more on this side of town. But this first one, based on the study they did, will read like 60% of our system from one location, mainly because of the elevation being so high up on the tower. The other ones will be located on normal utility height poles because of the terrain is not as hilly, so they can reach farther without having to be so high. The cost of the lease is $750 a month with an annual escalation of 4%. And basically, is just to kind of give you an update, right now, the 42% of our entire system of meters has been changed. The majority of them has been water. We're in probably next council meeting, we'll come before you with a order for the electric meters to get enough meters to finish out the electric changeover. And we've just got in some water meters, so this number will be escalating pretty soon as far as the percentage of completion.
All right, you have before you American Towers license agreement. Recommendation, request for Mayor and Council to approve to execute the license agreement between American Towers LLC and the City of Fairburn for usage of the tower facility located at 106 Howell Avenue here in Fairburn. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yes, hi. I have a question.
Yes, Councilwoman Nichols.
So we're going to get three towers collectors,
ma'am.
And that will be sustainable for the entire Fairburn. Do we expect that we would need more eventually?
No, because we're pretty much locked in on our territories. We're not going to be able to expand outward further. So these three that we get now will read our whole system. And when they lay them out, they do lay them out where they do have a little bit of, because you like a little overlap in case something changes, trees grow up and things of that nature. So with the overlap and the location of them, they'll actually go a little bit outside of our territory as is. We should be fine in that regard.
And so we're leasing these collectors, and there's a price of $750 a month. How?
No, we're leasing. Actually, this is to lease space on the tower.
Okay.
You know, just like with the cell towers, I have Verizon on there, and you might have T-Mobile on the same tower, and they all lease that space for the equipment. This is just leasing space on it to mount our equipment.
Okay, and is this agreement $750 for how long is this?
It's $750 per month for a year, and then they've built in a 4% annual escalation.
Okay, that was one of my questions. Thank you.
Well,
any other questions?
Just one that's kind of a follow-up.
Yes, Councilwoman Benson. Mm-hmm.
You did bring up the point that, yeah, we are landlocked and everything, but we're still aiming to bring more housing into the city. So to Ms. Nichols' point, will this allow for more residents and therefore more usage?
Yeah, there's no limit on like how many meters they can talk to within the city.
Okay.
If it's a meter out there and it's synced with the system, it's going to talk to it. It may just take a little longer to read more meters. But it's all automated. It's over an RF signal. It's on a licensed band spectrum, so there's not a bunch of other things on the band that slows down the communication. So it's pretty much if you go out and you ping a meter anywhere on our system, whichever collector that's closest to it will pick it up and send the data back within seconds.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comment? Okay. So all in favor of the American Towers lease agreement, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? That motion carries. Next item.
The next item is number 10, software as a service agreement for AMI equipment. The recommendation is for Mayor and Council to approve the software as a service agreement between the City of Fairburn and Census USA.
That wasn't me. So this is the second part. We talked about the tower and mounting the equipment on the tower. This agreement right here is the equipment that goes on the tower. So this agreement right here covers the collector. It covers the installation of the collector, the integration of it with our billing system. It covers the training for the employees. It covers the annual support and the data, the cloud storage. All is included in this agreement. The total cost is $177,500, and that does cover the whole first year of the support is included in that number. So once that's paid, we don't pay anything for another year as far as support and everything like that. So I did kind of get a little bit of clarification because I thought y'all might have questions, and I realized I may have questions. So the after we do this initial setup, we go to buy the second or the third collector. It will not be this expensive, obviously, because we're already paying for the support, the annual support, and the annual costs are already covered. So basically, if he verified that all we would do is pay the money to buy the collector itself, and everything else is included. So it won't be this much every time we buy a collector. Right now, the collectors are right at $100,000. But this would be a big deal for us because what this will allow us to do is, for example, now when somebody comes in and wants to finalize their service, say they're moving somewhere or whatever, there's a delay in sending them their final bill. Someone has to go out, read the meter, come back, bring the data back, put it in the billing system, issue a bill. Having this, we could actually go in real time and they say, I want to cut off. I've already moved all my stuff out. I want to cut it off right now. And they can actually do it from the computer, get the read off of it remotely, go ahead and finalize them in completion right there on the spot. The other big thing about this that we're really happy about is it monitors for water leaks. If you have a meter that's got constant flow on it, even if it's a little bit, that's a sign of a leak, and it can go ahead and generate reports on that. If we've got meters that stop communicating, we've had an issue where the meters are not communicating with our current drive-by system. This will send us a report every morning. Hey, this meter over here at so-and-so address, it hasn't reported in over 24 hours. We'll check it out. It's a lot of benefit that comes from it. Eventually, we could even, if the city decides to do so, we could go into what they call prepaid power. So you can kind of pay as you go. It'll enable stuff like that. It's the sky's the limit. So, and the best part about it is you're not sending employees out in the truck risking. We did have an employee last year getting out of the truck to read a meter, slip on the step bar or something, getting out of the truck, was out of work for a while. You know, the more we cut down on stuff like that, we cut down on workplace incidents. Obviously, there's an accuracy improvement because somebody's not having to look at it and write the number down and things of that nature. So it's almost limitless, the improvements that will come with it.
Okay. And bring it to the floor. You have before you software as a service agreement for AMI equipment. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Yes, Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, just quickly. How did we detect the leak before? Prior to this?
So normally what we do now is you just visibly go out there. They look for wet spots in the ground where there would be a service line that would be leaking. But unfortunately, what they call a leak is not always a pipe leak. And for example, for us, if it's any running water that's not intended, like a toilet that's constantly running, a spigot leaking outside or anything like that, it's characterized us as a leak. So that's what we have to do now. So we don't go inside the homes, but we kind of instruct people over the phone, like how you can go pour something in the tank of your toilet, see if it comes out so you know your toilet flappers are leaking and it's running all the time and things of that nature.
But how would you determine that there's a leak at a home?
So
would the city determine that or would the owner determine that?
It really do. If it's something that's visible and we can identify, we'll bring the homeowner out and say, you see this soggy spot in your yard? And you have a leak right here. The other thing we do is we tell them to shut off the main in the house. And if you shut off the main in your house and your meter is still showing that it's spinning, then you've got a leak in there somewhere. So we kind of use a process of elimination and logic, but once it gets inside the home, and it's kind of out of our scope if it's inside the home, and they have to get somebody else to check their toilets if they can't do it and things of that nature.
Okay. I was trying to juxtapose what this system that we're paying this amount of money for will do as opposed to what we've done in the past.
So now what would happen if we identify a leak? Normally we don't find it until the end of the month.
Okay, that's what I'm after.
You see a huge increase in the bill.
Yeah.
And okay. It causes why my bill's so high, then we go out and do an investigation. So it's a month behind by the time you catch it. Okay. This could catch it in a matter of hours.
Yeah, that's what I was after. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Mr. Phillips, you were going to comment.
Yeah, as it relates to your question, Councilwoman Davis, it is very important in that there is a very clear delineation between the area that the city is responsible for maintaining versus homeowners. And you were asking if it's inside my private home. That would be the responsibility of the homeowner. However, what our director is explaining is that the new system, once fully implemented, may quicker indicate that there is a leak so that we can alert a homeowner that we've gotten an indication that there's a leak. We will certainly check everything that is on the city side of the meter, see if there's a leak there, but by process of elimination, we can let them know earlier, as opposed to waiting for the bill to come out, we've seen an indication of a leak. So that way, I, as a homeowner, have the opportunity to call a plumber or do some of the tests that Derek just recommended to see if I can identify what that leak is.
I just wanted our citizens to understand the cost and what was before and how this will make it a whole lot better. Yeah, just that distinction,
On the power side also, a lot of people don't understand how doing little things in a home affects their electric bill also, like what time you turn your air conditioner on. Do you turn it on and off when you leave? So what this will do is it'll kind of give them an ongoing daily chart of their usage so they can look and see, whoa, at like 7 p.m., this thing shot to the moon and stayed up there till 11 o'clock when I went to bed. What am I doing? And it gets them involved to kind of help curb their own usage, keep their bills down.
Absolutely.
The other factor that this type of technology will give us better outcomes as it relates to accuracy and consistency. Once everything is on a single platform and we're able to utilize the technology that this system provides, it'll give us more consistent outcomes with our system as a whole. That's the goal, in addition to all the other benefits, is to get everything on a single platform, utilize the available technology, and ensure more consistent outcomes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Councilwoman Nichols?
Yes. I love utilities, so sorry if I'm asking all the questions, but I do like the idea of, you know, more accuracy and being able to detect leaks. So how, well, it's kind of a two-part question. So when we get this new system and we see, ideally, all the things are working, how realistically, how will we be able to notify customers if they have a leak? Is there a communication plan in place like, hey, you have a leak, is someone going to contact that homeowner so they can understand, like, they have a leak, as well as will our citizens have access to, like, see daily uses in the actual, like, in real time versus waiting to a bill? Will we be able to provide that? And what's, like, obviously the communication plan of rolling this out so that our citizens know about this? Because utilities has been a big issue in Fairburn, so the more we can communicate these new updates and these resources, I think will be beneficial to just us as a whole.
Yeah, so initially, so kind of in that world, when you call day one operations and then day two operations, which is mainly your day one operations are the things that you have to put in place immediately for the system to work. So the collectors, the meters, and all that kind of stuff. The day two stuff is normally your bells and whistles, your apps, your additional programs on your system for analysis and things of that nature. So once everything is implemented on the system and it's working and it's integrated, and then I'll work with city admin to see what we can afford, but to get some more applications and things involved that enable that level of analytics, because that's where I want to go to, is where the homeowners can look at it and see what they use each day and things of that nature.
And Councilwoman Nichols, I would add to that what we're seeking to do is what I would refer to as an enhanced level of customer service. Because of that delineation that I was responding to Councilwoman Davis's question, a lot of those issues that are on the homeowner's side aren't in the system that the city controls. With this enhanced level of service that this system has the capability to provide, we can give you an extra level of service that will notify you of something on your side of the meter. Mm-hmm. Right now, all the city can basically handle, we have roughly 8,000 customers in that city, in the system, is the portion the city's responsible for, checking for leaks on our side and making sure our system is working well. This system at least provides us the opportunity to give that enhanced level of customer service, which is our goal, so that when that system is working accurately, even though it's on the homeowner's side, we'll still have an indication that we can then communicate.
Okay. And currently, if you call in and you have a question, like, I feel like this number is wrong, it's on my bill, what you have to do is call in the customer service, explain that to them. They have to do a work order. The work order gets printed out. Somebody has to come in and get the work order, go out to your property, look at your meter, and verify that the reading that was received before was accurate. None of that would be necessary with this system. You could call and say, I have an issue, and they could literally go in and look at what's on your meter at that time. And if you got a bill that said 95.17 2 days ago and it says 95.25 now, you know, that kind of helps. And it doesn't take 48 hours or 24 hours to get that feedback.
Yeah, and I understand that, you know, technology is supposed to make everything accurate and efficient, but I don't want to lose touch of just the human part of it. So how are we going to make sure that this new system is correct? Because you can't always rely on technology to be accurate. So just making sure we don't forget the human aspect of our staff to make sure that this is working correctly, because sometimes this new technology is not always the best. So just wanted to flag that as well.
Yeah, we've got problems with our old technology too, so.
Right.
So we do get the phone calls, and mm-hmm. we would still have the staff here. You're going to have people that are not comfortable going on an right. app or going online, and mm-hmm. they want to mm-hmm. talk to a person. So we'll still have those people here for those situations. That's not really going to change here.
And my last question, you sure this is the best technology out there?
I think so. I, it was funny, at my former job, they were installing the same system okay. when I left there and came here, and we're installing the same system here. So a lot of cities use it. It's a good system.
There are approximately 49 cities in the state that provide utilities. This is the most commonly used system.
Good to know. Thank you.
I have one.
Yes, Councilman Smallwood.
I thought she was asking this question. I don't know if I heard the answer when you said the day one, day two thing. So we have a system that's the leaks are able to be caught in real time. But I think she was asking, like, but we see it on our end. Are we calling people?
Yes. Yeah, so once we get reports. So initially, before we get all the Cadillac applications, we'll get reports back from our system, and those reports will go to, like, our billing and customer service team, and then they'll reach out. They'll have to reach out manually, either email or phone call, and reach out to the customer and explain what's going on.
Okay, I just want to make sure I heard that piece, because that feasibly could be a lot of calls, though, right? So that's just what I'm trying to understand, because I don't know how utility works, but you might have 100 residents in a day. They have a lot of leaks, right? And so you're saying we're calling people, because, like I said, I don't want to put us in a situation saying this and it's not going to happen, but also want to know, because this sounds good, right? If you got a leak going on, somebody's calling you, hey, you have this leak, you know, whatever, next steps. But I want to be clear, is that what we're saying?
We don't normally get 100. We might get,
I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's why right I'm asking the questions.
You might get one or two or three.
Oh, okay.
You don't get a lot of them like that. But you do get some where people just question the validity of the number on the bill. So we send people out to check for a leak to see, and also check their reading while they're there also to make sure all of that matches up, kind of a two for
yes.
one visit.
So. Councilman Hudson, Mayor Pro Tem. That's an excellent point and a good question. Even now, before this system, Chelsea Logan, our operations manager, runs a report at the end of the month.
Okay.
It's intended, and she does this manually, to identify billing anomalies. Mm-hmm. Someone's bill jumps, right? And they proactively reach out to those folks now. So the numbers fluctuate from month to month.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
I will tell you, those folks in customer service, the mayor met with them just a short while ago, are extremely busy. And so it is a handful to mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. We think this system will help us to do it quicker,
okay.
more efficiently. But, yes, when we know there's an issue, we try to contact our residents, because if we don't,
the phone call's coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we don't call you when we see your bill go up, eventually you're going to call us. And so for efficiency purposes, mm-hmm. it just makes sense when we're able to put that notification out so we can proactively help our citizens.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Councilman Perry.
So 42% of the city is on the new meters. So what's the timeline for the rest of the city?
So we've got it approved in this current budget to order the rest of the electric meters. Look at that number. Give me 1 second. And I think it was around 2,000. 2,500 electric meters. So that's why I said probably next council meeting I'll bring that before you. We're still waiting on the quotes and everything to get put together from the vendor. So that would take care of the electric side of it. And water, we did not have enough to completely finish the water system in this budget, but they're farther along than the power because they hired a contractor to install those. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. That's right. They're at 56% already on the water side. So they're farther along. So between this year and next year, I believe we can get the water finished up also. And hopefully we can get the next, just kind of looking at the budget numbers when we get to the end of the year, start working on next year's budget to see if we can afford to get the both the collectors and all the meters, and that would be it.
So I'm just swagging here. Mm-hmm. About a year, maybe a little bit plus more. I'm just swagging. A little bit plus more. I'm on a year. We have the collectors that should be phased in over the next year as well. And together with the new software, we're looking at providing enhanced efficiencies, accuracies to our Fairburn residents and users of the utilities.
Is that correct? So for the ones that are already updated with a new meter, now they would instantly be on the system. And I asked the question of how long it would take. Is it once the contract signed and returned back to them? 90 days. Is there a turnaround to get all the equipment up, get it online, training, and everything?
And again, I understand, you know, we've probably beat this dead horse here, but I do understand new technology. It does take some time, you know, for us to implement it, put it in place, for everybody to get up. So I'm just giving like a realistic approach or outline.
So, Mayor and Council, if I may, good evening.
Good evening.
The vendor that we use for the meters is used by a lot of municipalities that provide utilities in the state of Georgia. I will tell you that we've had to, some of our meters have been on delay because they've gotten orders from larger county from larger counties of 6,000 or more meters. And so we're trying to get them as fast as they can come in and as they become available, because this is an effort that's being undertaken by a number of municipalities in the region. And so we're going to continue to work with the vendor to try to get those meters in as soon as possible.
Any other comments?
My last comment, mm-hmm. which I think it's just more like a recommendation. So as we think about alerting residents if they have a leak, maybe that's something we could utilize with technology, some type of alert system, whether it's like through an app. I know everyone is not going to they're not technology friendly, so you might have to make some calls, but if we could save staff time to automate calls and things like that or alerts, I think that could be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. I want to say to members of council that We're on a schedule to bring technology before this body to bring us into the 21st century, if you will. Technology is not cheap, though. And so, you know, we can only do so much at a time. And as we do certain things, because technology is moving so rapidly, no, we are kind of always behind on those improvements. But we want to continue to move in that direction. And so we'll be bringing before you a series of these as we try to upgrade our technology.
because it really is about data access and about real-time data so that we can respond, because that's been our problem, right? We get the data, and it's already out of date, but we're still dealing with, an issue that's going on now that we won't know until another 30 days. And so we're trying to get ahead of that. Please be aware that we'll be coming before you with more ask for technological improvements, because it really is about data. It's about us analyzing the data all in real time so that all of us can respond. Us as a homeowner, us as a city, whatever responsibility each of us have in that regard, the sooner we know the information, the quicker we can respond to that. So I just wanted to share that. All right, any other questions or comments? All right, then. So you have before you a motion, and it has been seconded for an agreement with American Towers LLC with the City of Fairburn for the usage of wrong one. Number 10, software as a service agreement for AMI equipment. Request for Mayor and Council approval of the software as a service agreement between the City of Fairburn and Census USA. All approve? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Right. That motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next item.
The next item on the agenda is the Finance Director Monthly Report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
My name is Kenneth Abide. I'm the Finance Director. I'll be presenting the monthly financial report.
Mr. Abidi, can you talk more into the mic?
Yes, I can. I'll be presenting three reports. The first one is for the month of October. This is for the period ended October 31st, 2025. Let's see if I can get this. Yes. The month-to-date revenue exceeded expenditures by $1 million. Year to date, the general fund revenue received was $2.8 million, and the expenditure disbursed was $1.8 million. As at the end of October, the city had collected 7.7% of the budgeted revenue and 5% of the budgeted expenditure. The next sheet, you'll see a spread of the total revenue against the total expenditure and compared to the same period of 2024-2025 fiscal year. We have the general fund revenue as at the end of October. We have the month to date and the year to date of $2.8 million. A total of 7.74% has been collected as at the end of October. And on the expenditure side, we year to date is $1.8 million, and in comparison, is percentage wise, it's 4.9%. And we have on the enterprise fund side, as at the end of October, the city had exceeded the expenditure. The City of Fairburn Enterprise Fund, as at the end of October, year-to-date revenue exceeded the expenditure by $1.8 million. And the year-to-date Enterprise Fund revenue received total $2.57 million, as against the expenditure disbursed of $758,000. As at the end of October, the city had collected 9.3 2% of the budgeted revenue as against 2.7% of the budgeted expenditure. We have the next sheet, we have the enterprise fund year-to-date spread, and on the last sheet, we have the revenue and expenditure collected compared to the same period of fiscal year 24-25. And if you look all the way down, it gives you the total revenue over expenditure for the fiscal year 25-26. That is as at the end of October of 2025. I'll take any questions on that.
Are there any questions?
Could you go back to the last slide? I believe there's no 2025-2026 sanitation expenses, enterprise expenditures?
Expenditures.
For enterprise expenditures for 2025-2026 for sanitation.
It's at the bottom there you see
I'm looking at the graph. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean the graph?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the, it's very low there. You see it's like 1.7. So that wouldn't appear on the graph because of the value. It's minimal.
Any other questions? So just a reminder, our fiscal year is October 1. So we're only, 5 months in.
This would be the first month of the fiscal year.
Right.
That number is low.
Yes, and so a lot of expenses are yet to come in on the enterprise fund.
Mm-hmm. Balance of the fiscal
yes.
year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
The next one is for the period ended November 30th of 2025. The month-to-date revenue exceeded the expenditure by $186,000. And year-to-date, the general fund revenue received was $4.8 million as against the expenditure disbursed of $3.6 million. As at the end of November, 13% of the budgeted revenue had been collected, as against 10% of the budgeted expenditure. The next sheet, which you have on the screen right now, shows a comparison of the fiscal year 24-25 as against 25-26. And you will notice that the fund balance increased to $21.7 million. It's not working, sorry. The next sheet, you will see the general fund revenue for November 2025. It shows the month-to-date and year-to-date numbers. For the month-to-date, we have $1.99 million. And year-to-date, we have $4.8 million. And that's as at that period, the end of November, we have, year-to-date, we have collected 13.1% of the budgeted revenue. On the expenditure side, same period as at the end of November, we had collected 9.85% of the budgeted expenditures. On the enterprise fund side, the City of Fairborn Enterprise Fund for November 2025 month-to-date revenue exceeded expenditure by $1 million, Year to date, the enterprise fund revenue received totaled $5.75 million and expenditure disbursed was $2.9 million. The total percentage collected as at the end of November was 20.8% on the revenue side and 10.5% on the 10.5% on the expenditure side. The enterprise fund month to date and year to date comparison, you'll see that as at the end of November, cumulatively 20.82% of the revenue had been collected, and on the expenditure side, 10.47% had been disbursed, with leaving a revenue over expenditure balance of $2.86 million. And this gives a 2-year comparison of the revenue and the expenses for the enterprise fund. And the total as at the end of November, $2.86 million had been collected. Well, the total revenue as at the end of November was $5.75 million, as against the total expenses of $2.89 million, leaving a surplus of $2.86 million. I'll take questions for the November report.
Are there any questions? Okay.
For the month of December, for the period ended December 31st, the month to date, revenue exceeded expenditures by $2.7 million. Year to date, the general fund revenue received was $10.6 million, as against the expenditure disbursed of $6.7 million. As at the end of December, the city had collected 29% of the budgeted revenue, as against 18% of the disbursed expenditure. The total revenue, the next sheet shows a comparison between the same period in 2024-25 fiscal year as against 25-26 fiscal year. And you will notice that the fund balance increased to $24.46 million. On the revenue collected for the general fund for as at the end of December, year to date, the amount collected was $10.62 million, representing a total of 28.95% of the budgeted revenue. On the expenditure side, 18.23% of the total fund budgeted had been disbursed to the various departments. On the enterprise fund side, the City of Fairborn Enterprise Fund, as at the end of December 2025, month-to-date revenue exceeded expenditure by $1.9 million. Year-to-date, the enterprise fund revenue received total $8.15 million, as against the expenditure disbursed of $4.4 million. And as at the end of December, the city had collected 29.5% of the budgeted revenue, as against 16% of the budgeted expenditures. The enterprise fund representation as at the end of December. As at the end of December, the total, we have a surplus of $3.726 million as at the end of December. And on the next sheet, we have a comparison of the fiscal year 2024-2025 to 2025-26, and the total amount, the surplus, the revenue over expenditure as at the end of December was $3.726 million. I'll take questions if there are any.
I have a question.
Okay. Yes, Councilwoman Nichols.
Can you go back to the last slide before? Yes, this one. Can you just explain? So I'm looking at the electric. We went from in revenue, it almost increased about say 2 million, right? We're going from 2.6 to 4.4. But when it comes to expenses, it doesn't like mirror that. It's like 2.9 to 2.3 million. So can you just like, where did the surplus of revenue come from when it comes to the electric?
I'll say that in the beginning of the fiscal year, departments usually the purchases increase towards the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
So this is just the beginning of the fiscal year. Towards the end, you will see more purchases.
That's right.
Derek is gone because that's when the department usually, expenses on the department usually increases.
Okay.
What I would add, Councilwoman Nichols, is that there's a cadence to the budget throughout the year. Okay. And those expenditures and those revenues, you will see month over month change.
Mm-hmm.
Tracking revenue over expenses is where I, as a city manager, put a lot of focus because I want to make sure we are spending less than we're bringing in. But you will see those trends tend to fluctuate throughout the year based on several factors, seasonal as relates to utilities and others.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? And then I would also add that the cost of electricity has gone up as well. The electricity that we purchase and that we deliver to our residents increase in personal all costs have gone up. So that reflects that as well. Okay.
Specifically as it relates to utilities, thank you for that, Mayor. We can get into more details in a work session. The cost for electricity, example, is not consistent throughout the year. It is also seasonal.
Right.
So when we have a really our cold snap and there's more demand on the system, then the sources that provide us electricity, their prices fluctuate. So all of those variables play into that month over month. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we track it month over month as well as year to date.
Any other questions? Okay.
Just one thing. I think it'll be helpful for me as someone new to kind of see the trends. I don't know if you could provide like a yearly graph of like this is the spike, because it seems like this is why the 4.4 million is there, because we've got a lot of revenue, but it's going to eventually even out. So just for like my learning purposes, just to kind of see what the trends are, will be helpful.
Understood.
All right, any other questions or comments? Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next item.
All right, the next item is number 12, the city administrator's monthly report.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, let me begin by telling you, it is not typical that you get three financial reports in one meeting. I know that was a lot to digest for everyone. It's end of the year cadence. The meetings with the holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas gets a little difficult. So we'll get back during the regular portion of the year. You'll get one of those a month, and it's a little easier to digest. Mm-hmm. With that said, I am here to present the city administrator's monthly report covering those same 3 months. The full report is always provided in advance, both for you and our residents, posted in our public agenda. Overall, I will tell you that these final months of the years of the previous year demonstrated steady operations, strong service delivery, and meaningful progress across multiple departments. We focus very heavily on collaboration, execution, and shared commitment to public service, and that's reflected in this report. A couple of operational highlights from the report that we're currently discussing. From an infrastructure standpoint, we completed a hugely important project on Rivertown Road with burying our overhead utility lines, power lines, underground. That is a long-awaited project, and the impact of that is that when the lines are overhead, as they are in many cities like Fairburn, anything can impact your service. A storm, a tree limb, a squirrel, And so we have long wanted, because Rivertown Road, as many of you know, is a major thoroughfare that connects to many communities. And so a simple line outage can impact multiple communities. We've completed that project. I want to congratulate the Utilities Department and the Mayor and Council for giving us the ability to move forward with that. And it will improve reliability and service for that entire area. So that was a major infrastructure move forward. Public Works also secured a $400,000 federal Safe Streets and Roads for All grant, which will reinforce our long-term commitment to transportation safety and mobility planning. Economic development and growth. Planning and zoning remain strong. We have currently $72 million in development projects under review. 91 building permits were issued over those 3 months, and more than $878,000 in fees was collected, which are clear indicators that private sector investment and responsible growth management is still moving in a positive direction here in the city of Fairburn. At the same time, economic development continued site selection tours and downtown activation discussions to support many of the revitalization efforts that we've discussed previously. Public safety is always a priority for us in Fairburn. The fire department responded to 328 calls for service during that span while maintaining robust prevention and outreach efforts. This is particularly notable. The police department continued its community policing focus and closed the year. Deputy Chief Eisworth confirmed this for us earlier today, with a 4% reduction in Part 1 crime trends, breaking the record set in 2024, and in doing so, setting a new record for the lowest level of Part 1 crimes in the city's recorded history. So kudos to the police department. We are very proud to live in a safe city, and the men and women who serve our citizens in the police department have made that happen. Community engagement. We saw strong community engagement through Parks and Recreation, which is always active, youth sports, senior activities, and signature events like the tree lighting and fireworks show that we held in December. These efforts directly support quality of life and community connection, which we deem as a priority in Fairburn. Finally, December marked the successful launch of the city's new official website. Thanks to our outstanding communications team, one of the most significant digital infrastructure upgrades in the city's history, improving transparency, access to services, and public communication during a peak engagement period. Taken together, this report reflects a city organization that closed 2025 with strength and momentum, and one that is well positioned to support the mayor and council's priorities in the year ahead. I want to thank our department directors, our hardworking and dedicated city staff, for their professionalism and dedication. It is my true honor to work with them each day. And with that, Mayor, I'm happy to answer any questions council may have regarding the city administrator's report.
Any questions? Well, I want to say thank you. I like the revised presentation of the report. It is very succinct and to the point, and very easy for us to read and digest. So thank you, Mr. Phillips and Ms. Chris, for that. Okay. All right, is that our last item?
That's our last item.
All right, we will begin with, do we want to do council comments now? We have executive session?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Is it okay we do council comments now?
Yes,
okay. If you'll start the clock, then, and we'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Smallwood.
All right. I just, of course, thank everyone for coming out. I just want to put out a caution of something happened to my neighbor. We have that project going on at Exit 61, and some huge potholes are developing. And a neighbor of mine came home to the neighborhood a couple days ago with a flat tire due to one of those potholes. So I don't know if I can ask now, but I know that's GDOT, correct?
Yes, right, sir.
They did it. He came straight to my house asking about it, and then you can also file a claim through 511, can't you?
Yes, with the state. It's a state road, but if you get that information or have them contact our office, we'll be happy to help them.
Perfect. Thank you. So be aware of the potholes up there at our beautiful roundabout bridge, Diamond, being built. So, and thank everyone for coming out.
All right, Councilwoman Nichols.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you and how much I appreciate the tone and thoughtfulness of today's discussion. As someone still getting my feet wet with this role, this has really been a welcoming experience so far. So thank you to my fellow council and mayor, because it's been such a great experience. And I value how collaborative we're working together and how transparent this council has been. And I'm looking forward to continuing to learn, ask good questions, and work together in service of our citizens. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Davis.
Okay. I would like to bring to our attention, and I know Administrator Mr. Phillips probably know about this, in reference to the property tax relief. There's several bills going on in the legislature. There's a whole lot of shaking going on in the legislature. And they have an end, I think they have an end point to all of this stuff that's going on that's going to affect some things that we're used to. Some of the bills that I think we should also be concerned about and sort of tracking is S. Bill 422. And I don't want to go into all the details. I don't have enough time for that. But that bill really needs to, because this will change our elections more on a federal level than local off season. Also, in reference to property tax, it's House Bill 1114 and 1116, which will take a constitutional amendment. So this is very, very going to be very different. So we need to really look at this and be up on it. And I know, Ms. Phillips, I'm sure you're aware of all of these things that's going on. But we, too, as council members, need to know what's happening in the legislatures that's going to affect us. That's it.
All right, 28 seconds.
Thank you. Councilwoman Hauser.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I am so glad to be a part of this council. And as we come together and talk about all of the municipal affairs, which entails the daily services and matters for this great city, I just want to thank all of the residents. I want to thank our community, the mayor and the council. And I just want to thank you for... You wouldn't be here if you did not care. You would not be here if you did not want to know what is going on with our day-to-day services and matters. I am still learning. You can always reach me. I have a restaurant right up the street. You can always reach me if you need to stop in or have questions or any concerns, and I can, you know, just bring those communicate those questions or concerns right back to our communications department and the mayor. But again, thank you. Thank you for the police department, that 4%. You know, we are one of the safest cities in Georgia. That makes me very proud, coming from Florida to be here. But anyways, I'm happy to be here, and we will continue to do our best to provide the best services as we possibly can.
Councilwoman Benson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Most of you know I'm a wordy girl, so I think I'm about to shock the room. I echo the sentiments and say those are my comments. Thank you for coming.
Wow.
Councilman Perry.
First, thanks all glory to God. Without him, none of this would be possible. I'd like to thank everyone who came out tonight. Thanks for taking your time to be involved in the matters that happen here in the city. I'd also want to build on what's already been spoken about with regards to Fairburn Utilities. I've been receiving it. I'm sure everybody else has, too. There's a Fairburn Utilities Department amnesty. That's where you can try and clear your past dues without penalties, fees, or shutoff. That runs from the 23rd through the 27th, from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. right here in this building, 56 Malone Street here in Fairburn. And also on the 26th of February, you can come in from 2 to 7, and you can have one-on-one conversation with regards to your bills. So I'd like to encourage all citizens, anyone that have any issues, please come down. Please get a better understanding with regards to your utilities bills. Lastly, I'm a big proponent for public safety. This won't be the last, but Fire Chief Robinson, a huge shout out to you and your team. 328. That number is amazing. Over I guess a quarter of a calendar, which includes the Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's holidays, for them responding to the needs here in our community. So a huge shout out to them and that department and all the work that they do to keep us safe. Also, the Chief Brazillo and the police department. I can't say anything better than record breaking, which is what you continue to do here in our community. I believe that all of our citizens feel that they can come up to a local police officer to ask a question without a negative experience or a negative remark. Lastly, as we move and we continue to grow, ma'am, mayor, thank you for continuing to have us here, bring us here. The council, we're going to be professional as always, and we're going to take the matters that the citizens have to heart and work on your behalf. So in your service, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to ask Ms. Howell if she'll come up. And thank you, Councilman Perry, for mentioning the customer service day. That's coming up, and also the amnesty program, and we'll continue to remind the citizens of that. But Ms. Howell, if you can just talk about the Black History program that's coming up on the 28th.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
We are inviting our citizenry, as well as Mayor, Council, and anyone else that would like to participate in the Voices of Legacy, a Black History Experience, which will be held on February the 28th, beginning at 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. The program starts at 4. We will have the Legacy Market, which features over 20 vendors, and that opens at 3 p.m. And this will be held at the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard. It's featuring Orchestra Noir, Spirit and Truth Choir, Skydance Academy, Teresa Mingo, and the South Fulton Studios.
All right.
It's going to be an amazing experience.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So I ask everyone to mark their calendars. And then just a couple of comments from me. I want to say a special thank you to Council for buying into the Ordinance of Civility, and that you were willing to sign on with that. Hey, we're all human, we all make mistakes sometimes, but the fact that we are wanting to sign on the dotted line to say that we will work, be very intentional about being civil and professional with each other, as we all are in the various workplaces that we either work in now or have been over our careers. So thank you so much. And then I will have the form for each of you to sign that. And as was suggested by Councilwoman Benson, we will make sure the public knows what it is that we've committed to. And I want to say for the record, I am asking, I am expecting, and I'm sure there won't be any problem with residents holding us accountable and telling us we violated. I see a couple of them out there right now that I know will call me up. So I really, really appreciate that. And I look forward to seeing all of you at our Black History Celebration. We've been elevated to a whole new level, so I'm excited to see what comes about with that. And with that, could we make a motion to go into executive session, please?
So moved.
Second.
It is. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded and approved. We're going into executive session. So thank you all, citizens, very much. And staff, and we'll see you next meeting. Yes. All right. Return from executive session. Is there any further discussion? Yes, Councilwoman Benson?
It's just to ask about the retreat, so I don't know if it is a question for
a speaker. Just say information forthcoming.
Okay.
All right, anything else?
That's it.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, we are adjourned. Thank you. Good evening.